Well, welcome to another Going Deeper at Lakeside Baptist Church, and we are hosted by our PTO class, which we're very glad to have. I always tend to forget this, but if you are listening and you'd like to send a question in, if we don't answer some of your questions this morning, feel free to answer or send those to Malcolm, and you can certainly send those to Lakeside, and he would get those. I do want to introduce, Malcolm, we thank you so much for being a part of this.
Thank you for having me.
We love all that you do, and as I've said before, I think most important is you're a good friend, and I appreciate that too. This morning, oh my gosh, you can't study any Ephesians passages and not sort of take something real personal.
Yeah, that's right.
And sometimes that's not good for me because I say, oh my gosh, he's talking about me again. I found something also. I want to set this up because I told you earlier, I just want to tee up and let you go off on it. But I did find something really interesting in Oswald Chambers' devotional on How Will I Know. It's what he calls it. And he actually uses a passage from Matthew 11. Jesus answers and says, I thank you, Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. I want to share with you something he wrote. He says, all of God's revealed truths are sealed until they are opened to us through obedience. Mm. You will never open them through philosophy or thinking. But once you obey, a flash of light comes immediately. Let God's truth work into you by immersing yourself in it, not by worrying into it. The only way you can get to know the truth of God is to stop trying to find out and by being born again. If you obey God in the first things he shows you, then he instantly opens up the next truth to you. And he goes on, even the smallest bit of obedience opens heaven, and the deepest truths of God immediately become yours. I wanted to open up with that because what Mark is preaching from the writings of Paul is that we need to obey this whole issue. The idea of, and I love what Mark said about the armor of God, because I've seen we've done the children's version of that, for vacation Bible school and those kind of things. But the truths that are there, we have to still take those on.
Absolutely. And I think it's important that from one sense, we are in an army. Mm-hmm. And if an army is going to function well, then you have to follow orders. I remember I come from a military family, and my dad often treated us like we were young soldiers.
You too. I had one of those.
But in the military itself, when I went through basic training, we had it drilled into us. Mm. You just have to do what you're told. Mm-hmm. No individuality. Mm-hmm. No, hey, I think that I've got a better idea, commanding officer. You have to obey because God knows. First of all, we have a commander who knows everything.
Yes.
And he's the most brilliant ever. He's the most powerful. And I want to get into that in a second. But if we don't obey our commander, we're going to get off in a side struggle over here that the Lord doesn't want us to get in, that he hasn't sent us to this battle to fight. He wants us to stay in this battle. And we will make mistakes and we'll cause harm to ourselves. We'll cause harm to the advance of the kingdom of God. We'll cause harm to other people. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that we obey our Lord. Lord is a word that we often use flippantly.
Yeah.
It means God. It also means you're my master, my commander.
You're my leader.
You're my leader. So I must obey you. And I think God does bless us through our obedience. And, of course, Oswald Chambers would say this as well. Our first act of obedience is simply to believe the gift that he has
given us.
You've got to
be born again.
That's right. You've got to be born again, as he said.
Yeah.
And so, we've got to do that because we are in a battle. This is spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. And the book of Ephesians, towards the end of it, brings in the whole spiritual warfare aspect. And we are in a great battle. We need to know whose army we're in because there are only two sides. There's the devil's side and there's God's side. So you better make sure you're on the right side. The devil thinks he's winning, but he's actually already lost. Mm-hmm. And the victory was already won at the cross of Jesus Christ. But the battles are continuing. Mm. From our perspective, we might say it like this. The Battle of the Bulge in some ways was the key battle. Everything after that was mopping up.
Mm-hmm.
After the cross of Jesus Christ has been won, everything else is mopping up.
Loose translation.
The loose translation. Yeah, that's not directly out of Scripture. But that, we've got to recognize we're in a war. Most Christians don't like talking about the devil.
Mm.
We don't like talking about Satan, demons. It scares us.
Mm.
We don't understand it, especially for those of us, as Mark mentioned last week, who are in the West, where we have taken that which is spiritual and tried to bring it under categories of science that we are more comfortable with. So we prefer, for instance, rather than speaking of, a gross display of evil mm-hmm. in a human being, we'll say, well, you know, he's got emotional issues or something like that, which may be true. But really, there is a demonic battle that is going on, and we must be prepared for it. And that's the purpose of this passage.
You know, it's so funny you said that, because Mark made a statement which to me was the most profound, because he said it happens in spiritual warfare. We misidentify the victim of the enemy.
Yeah, I think one of our greatest difficulties is today is that we know that we're in a spiritual battle. But sometimes we forget who exactly the enemy is. We fight not, to cite Paul here, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And that means that even when we disagree with certain people, we may have, and I definitely have, strong political disagreements with certain leaders
parties,
and parties and so on. But my battle is not against them. Rather, our battle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. And that means that our primary battle is against the demonic.
Sure.
Now, the demonic shows itself in politics,
mm-hmm.
in national movements, in international affairs,
mm-hmm.
and it shows itself in our local community. It also, the battles occur within our own hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to remember there's a wide-ranging battlefield mm-hmm. that we're engaged in. But, you know, my beef is not with that person who may have a beef with me. My real enemy is not that other human being. My enemy is all of this description here, Paul. It's talking about all of these demonic forces, these great evils that show themselves in social movements, that show themselves in intellectual ideas and intellectual movements, that show themselves in the activity of the drug dealer and in the local manifestations of evil.
There's a balance there, isn't there? Because,
yeah.
I mean, that's where the law comes in, man's law.
Yeah.
That was designed to protect us from
individuals.
Right.
And the Spirit uses human law in order to restrain evil.
Mm.
And, of course, we know at the end of the time, the Spirit will be withdrawn so that evil can have its way for a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Spirit of God actually uses, the red, white, and the blue, he uses law and order.
And I think almost the unsaved, and yet we have unsaved in all the parties, the political parties here in the country, I get that, but Satan uses that. It's almost like the unsaved is more creative than even Christians are at times about how to defend our faith.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I remember something we've got to fight. I do anyway. Mark said, if he can get Satan, if the enemy can get you to disqualify yourself,
yeah,
to not see yourself as one of God's children,
yeah.
He takes you out of the equation altogether.
Yeah, and that's easy for him to do. You know, he mentioned C.S. Lewis, and of course C.S. Lewis in his Screwtape Letters, which are
awesome. I've taught classes on that. That's awesome.
And so you have this uncle demon, writing letters to
the junior devil.
Yeah, to Screwtape mm-hmm. and informing him. And of course, one of the greatest tactics of the devil is to convince the Christian that he's already lost mm-hmm. or that she has disqualified herself. And the fact is that all of us, if we're believers in Jesus Christ, we already know, we're already in and of ourselves, we're already disqualified because we're sinners. And the only way that we become qualified is through faith in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's why when Paul comes to begin to speak about how to fight this mm-hmm. battle, mm-hmm. he appeals to such things as the shield of faith. Mm-hmm. So our strength, our qualifications are not based in our own character, mm-hmm. but in the character of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And when we begin to understand that, we will begin to have victory. So one of the devil's tactics is to get you to identify yourself as totally unqualified, and therefore you leave the line. And there's a front line, and as a soldier, you're to stand there, but because you feel guilt, you say, well, I'm just disqualified, and you walk away from the line when God told you to stand in the line and to stay there and to fight
his
battle.
I think that's important because as a lay person who has loved studying over the years, I know I still face moments when I feel like I'm not called for this, or I don't think I'm going to be able to handle those guys.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so I almost shrink away from that opportunity, and all God's saying says, stand there.
Just be there. And have that word ready. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing is that we know this. In times of great difficulty, God mm-hmm. tells us to go and to stand and to be a witness. And sometimes we don't know what to say. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is there to prompt you as to what to say. And if your life will be saying, Lord, take over, take control, I will obey, I will speak, He will give you the very words mm-hmm. that you need to say mm-hmm. at the proper time in the battle. Now, I want to back up for a second and start back in verse 10 and point out mm-hmm. something that I think is just absolutely fascinating. This whole passage in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, begins in this way. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by His vast strength. There are actually two words here with the idea of strength. Be strengthened is in dunamao. Hmm. And you'll recognize the word dunama by the word dynamite, mm-hmm. right? And so he's saying, have this explosive power that is in you by the Lord. Be strengthened, and in dunama means it's a power that comes to reside within you. You are called to a spiritual battle, but in yourself you have bombs.
If I can use it,
you have spiritual bombs that you can throw against the enemy that come about not because of something that you have from yourself. You can't manufacture these because it comes from the Lord and His vast strength. It's actually a different word there, which has krato, which you probably recognize the word from autocrat, mm-hmm. democrat, pantocrat. Pantocrator is actually a name used in Scripture to describe Jesus Christ.
My favorite term, idiocracy.
Yes, and it means power. It's some type mm-hmm. of power. Well, the power that God has is all of it. Mm-hmm. Therefore, mm-hmm. pantocrator. He is, and that's the book of Revelation talking about Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So God has all power, and through His Holy Spirit, He is in strengthening you. And so if God calls you and you are born again by faith and He puts you in the front line, you have the power within you already. It's not something that you have. It's already supplied to you. It's the supplies have already dropped in your bastone mm-hmm, mm-hmm. through the fog, and it's there in you, and all you have to do is just take advantage exactly. of what God has put inside of you. And that is the Holy Spirit, because the spiritual battle that we're involved in is against the demonic forces. It's not against people, although people surrender themselves to the demonic forces. We need to recognize that. Mm-hmm. But we have a greater power than the demonic spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit resides within the believer of Jesus Christ, empowering the believer to engage in the spiritual battle with the promise of victory. All we have to do is do what he has commanded here. Now, I love how Mark took section by section the various accoutrements, the equipment, the armor that a Christian has. But I want to focus, as we go deeper, I want to call us back to go back and listen. If you haven't heard Mark's sermon, go listen to it. Mm-hmm. It's available on podcasts. It's available by video through Facebook and also on our website. But I want to take a moment and focus on some of the verbs, not the armor, but what we're doing with the armor for just a moment. All right. And I want to pull out seven verbs starting in verse 13. For this reason, take up the full of armor of God. So that you may be able, so as you're taking up, and that word take up is used three different times here. In other words, you've actually got to pick up and put it on, okay? Mm-hmm. But take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day. Do you realize that as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are called to join the resistance movement? You are called to resist against an occupying power that ought not be there in this world. And the first thing we need to do as we take up this armor is we need to resist. In other words, we need to say no to the devil. And that means we need to know what God's word is saying, and we need to know what the lies of the devil are, because they're a perversion typically of God's word. And we need to resist and say no. Often the first thing we need to say in a situation is, sorry, but that doesn't cut it.
But you slid right through that. We need to know God's word.
That's right.
And I love how Mark said that. If we're just coming, and he didn't say it this way, I'll paraphrase, just to come to church, just to come to PTL, just to listen to a podcast, if that's all we're doing and not doing other things on our own to develop more of an understanding of the scriptures, we've got a problem.
That's
I mean,
right.
We're going to face a problem.
And we've got to have, you know, militaries operate often and have their greatest victories or defeats on the basis of intelligence, either gaining intelligence or lack of intelligence. Mm-hmm. And when you're in a resistance movement, that means there are all sorts of people that are feeding false intelligence as well as true intelligence, which means that the only way you're going to be able to recognize false intelligence as opposed to true intelligence is if you've got the Word of God with you opening your mind at the whole time. A second word I'd like to focus on is take your stand. Stand, it says again. Therefore, with truth, like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. Now, this idea of a belt around your waist and armor on your chest and your feet sandaled, these are things that hold you down. Mm-hmm. Because the enemy is coming against you, so you need to be able to take, and when the way that often these ancient armies would battle one another, they would line up and they would have shield walls that would go against one another. Mm-hmm. And your purpose in your shield wall is to be so equipped that when that other shield wall came against you, or if you had individual soldiers trying to fly over your shields and so on, then you would stand. And your purpose in that line is to take your stand. So you resist and you stand. You don't give up the ground that God has given you. Mm-hmm. All right? And by the way, the ground has already been won by God, so don't give up any ground. I mean, you've got to be willing to say no, and you've got to be willing to stand. Another, and to come back to this idea of take up, in every situation, take up the shield of faith. which with which you can extinguish, and that's the third idea I'd like to focus in on, extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And so in the ancient armies, often they would not just shoot arrows, they'd shoot arrows that were on fire that would then light up your equipment or your body and, you know, and cause great damage to your force. Well, your shield is there in order to extinguish all those flaming arrows. You've got the equipment. Whatever that Satan throws at you, you've already got what you need in order to defeat that weapon. The greatest armies are often able to win their battles on the basis of military technology, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we've already got the military technology that Satan can never defeat. And that means that we have to stand. And one of it, one of them is just simply to trust God, to believe, to have faith.
And isn't it cool? Because Paul very quickly here uses oftentimes sports examples and military examples.
Yeah.
So while some of the people he was talking to may have never worn these, they had seen Roman soldiers
That's
who
right.
had worn them.
That's right.
And very well knew what the purpose of them probably were.
Right. And the Romans, by the way, were the leading military of their
exactly.
day.
Exactly. Right.
For a millennia. I mean, they knew what they were doing in warfare. And so another idea I'd like us to focus on is that it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which brings us back to the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. First of all, the way the Spirit moves is with the Word of God. So if you want to be where the Spirit is moving, open the Word, because the Holy Spirit inspired the Word, preserved the canon. He illumines the Word so that we can understand
or to
the
use
Word.
It as 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us, right? All Scripture is inspired by God.
That's right. And it is sufficient. Mm-hmm. It is all you need for the spiritual battles that you face. Mm-hmm. So take it up and read it. You know, Augustine of Hippo, whenever he was converted, if you'll remember, he heard a child singing, take up and read, take up and read. And so he actually picked up the letter to the Ephesians and started reading. And I think it was in chapter 2 or 3. And he started reading, and that led to his conversion. Mm. So the reading of the Word of God is an activity that we must always be engaged
in. Let me pause and add to that, not question it. That's why I think so many times missionaries and evangelical efforts to win people oftentimes use the book of John.
Absolutely.
You know, they'll just give the book of John instead of the entire New Testament because, number one, John's easy to read.
It is.
But number two, it is Christ. It is all about the life of Christ, and not just the life, obviously, but that the need to be born again.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you've got the simple plan of salvation.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
John 3:16,
yep.
you know.
Yep.
Here's the whole gospel in one verse.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And then, notice next, pray. Why do we pray? Many of us look at prayer as us talking to God, which is true. But prayer also establishes a communion. So the Word of God is God talking to us. Prayer is us talking to God. And in that prayer and hearing the Word, there is a communion that is established between us and our commander. So one of the greatest advantages of the American military, I remember when we went into Iraq the first time, my brother was actually over there fighting and was based in Saudi Arabia and then went up into Kuwait in that first Gulf War. And one of the things that the American military did that helped them to defeat these massive armies was that they went after their ability to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we will never have our ability to communicate taken away from us by an opposing army because we already have immediate contact with our Lord who supplies us with everything we need. It's called prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We need to pray. And so pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. In other words, talk to the Lord. He will help you in the midst of the spiritual battle. And moreover, another word that needs another verb that needs to come in here, stay alert, which is another way of saying wake up. One of the worst offenses that a soldier on duty can commit is when they fall asleep. Mm. As a matter of fact, in most armies, the offense, I think even in the U.S. military, is still true. If you fall asleep while on duty, the penalty is actually death.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have betrayed through your lack of paying attention. You've betrayed. You proved yourself a traitor.
Well, you read the story of George Washington and the Revolutionary War. I mean, he executed some because of that. So that's true.
By the way, my ancestors, who were Quakers and pacifists, actually fought in the Army of the Potomac.
Mm-hmm. So I had some relatives who were Indians. They tried to kill your relatives. Oh, sorry.
I'm glad they weren't successful. But anyway, so we need to stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. How many different ways can he describe praying?
Wow.
Praying.
Right.
Prayer is absolutely necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Pray also for me, he says, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth. Here's another important word. And by the way, the word for word or word of God, both rhema and logos, both of those are used in this passage.
Mm-hmm.
That the message, the logos, may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the offensive weapon of the believer? The offensive, it's the word of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
but it's also opening your mouth with the gospel. It's evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
Evangelism is the offensive movement of the people of God. And according to Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 16, the gates of hell will not prevail against the confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we, the church, is actually an army in movement against hell, and we are to be on the attack. So we're to stand our ground. We're not to give any ground. We're actually to take ground.
Mm-hmm.
And hell itself cannot withstand the gospel, the mystery of the gospel. Mm-hmm. And the thing is how do you exercise and use different weapons? It might be pulling a trigger.
Mm-hmm.
It might be driving the tank. It might be opening communication. But really, the offensive weapon is to open your mouth and to let the gospel come pouring forth.
Well, now, and I'm sorry,
because I'm getting excited.
No, I know you. I know you. Whoa, big fella. The thing that, no, I just want to resonate what you just said. That is, how many times do we hear of, and they're doing this probably in Afghanistan as we speak today, to get them to confess, to confess that they do not follow Jesus Christ. So it is with the mouth.
It is with the
They've
mouth.
Already got evidence. But they want them to confess that they'll give that up to denounce their faith in Christ. And the fact is that, you know, those are the people that, you know, that may change that country if God's word continues to be.
And there preached. Are still, by the way, there are still church planters. Yeah. There are still are Christians in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And they are being hunted. And we need to pray for them. And the reason that Satan doesn't want Christians who open their mouths is there's no defense for the devil against the evangelist. The evangelist has the offensive weapon that will take the devil out. And that's why it's important that we pray for those like the apostle who are evangelists to open their mouth. And by the way, all of us should be evangelists.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 20 kind of struck me as just odd in a way. Most of the time we think of ambassadors from one nation to another as living in cush palaces, right? Embassies. And yet, what is Paul's description of himself? I'm an ambassador in chains. He's a handicapped ambassador from a worldly perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I love what William Blake says, that you can imprison a man's body, but you can never imprison his soul.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul has the same idea here. He may be in chains physically, but he's actually a high ambassador, because now he's in the household of the imperial court itself. Mm-hmm. He has an ability that no other Christian has had. He now has that ability. He can get right into the very imperial court with the good news of Jesus Christ. Mm. And that's why he says, I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may be bold enough to speak about it as I should. And don't you know that there were all sorts of reasons for Paul to keep his mouth shut? I imagine if he had a lawyer at the time, his lawyer was saying, listen, plead the fifth. Don't say anything. Don't speak for yourself. And yet God gave the apostles, he gave all Christians a message that we must be speaking. And to speak that message may end in his death, but he needs to speak it with boldness. Pray that I might be bold enough to speak about it as I should. And I think that's where we are. The armor is often presented, and most of it is, defensive armor. But we're there to fight a battle, and we're to be an army on the offense. And the offense is empowered by the Word of God through our proclaiming the gospel.
I think I like that, Malcolm, because I know Mark shared, and I know we're getting close to the end here. Mark shared that even the quote that he shared about, even when we doubt ourselves, it doesn't matter. Martin Luther had doubts, but he still said, God's word calls it.
That's
so.
That's right.
That we have to claim that sometimes.
And I think Luther's experience is one that could instruct us. Luther knew he was a sinner.
Yeah.
He was convicted by sin his whole life, and he was sensitive to God, and he wanted to overcome his sin. And he tried everything. Luther was actually a good Roman Catholic priest and a monk. Mm-hmm. So he was taking everything that the medieval ecclesiastical group had given him, and he could find no peace. Yeah. The only way he found peace was by opening the Word of God and hearing the Word of God and believing the Word of God in spite of whatever he felt, whatever emotions he had, whatever this is situation around him. Even when he had the emperor of his day confront him and call him to recant, he couldn't do it because he had to stand upon the Word of God. The Word of God says it. I believe it. That settles it. That's a more modern rendition of what Luther's life was about.
Let me ask you in closing here, and maybe you can give us an analogy, and if you can't, then we won't blame you. We'll give you time to prepare. But Mark used the example of, and I've read the story of the thresher in 1963. But I love his comparison there to the fish, because I know that's just a very basic thing. But how do they live at the depths? Because fish have the equal and opposite pressure inside of them. We need that equal and opposite pressure of Christ. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so the battle from the outside is demonic. It is evil spirits. The pressure from
which we have no choice over.
That's right.
That's there.
The pressure from the inside is going to be the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I mean, the very words in Hebrew and Greek for spirit convey the idea of breath, wind, air. And so you have a limitless supply of the pressure that you need by the presence of the Holy Spirit who is within you. If you're a believer of Jesus Christ, the Spirit, so don't quench the Spirit, which means to turn down the air flow. Let the Spirit have His way in your life. And God will build up that spiritual pressure inside of you that will overcome the demonic pressure.
Interesting. Let's close out for us. It's been great. Father God, thank you for another wonderful time of just getting a little bit deeper in your word and in some of the insightful meaning. Thank you for Malcolm and his insights that he's shared with us. Father, we again want to fall before you. You are worthy. And you are so good. The song we heard this morning in the service, boy, that take me back to years ago. Tears came in my eyes. Father, you are so good. Thank you for loving us. We ask all this in your name. Amen.